We're at Fringe Central. Rachel Krieger, you're back with a show that's been a success. Was it first time last year or even before then?
It was here last year. I am indeed Rachel Krieger, and my show, It's No Job for a Nice Jewish Girl, was, to my amazement last year, a kind of sellout success, although it was a free show. So how you can... It was packed, is what I'd say. And we since then did a tour, and now I've come back this year with that and a work in progress.
Heavy question to start with, but with the rise in anti-Semitism that is being recorded, you know, in Europe, around the world, here, Jewish comedy is really important at the Fringe, isn't it?
Well, it seems to be, because I think there's more Jewish acts here this year than I've ever noticed before. And this is, I think, my eighth or ninth time coming. It's really interesting because mostly I find being here incredibly supportive. And there's a lot of Americans, for example, who are really into Jewish comedy. And Jewish comedy has been a very big thing for the community in terms of being satirical and being able to bite at whoever's trying to oppress us. So it's useful to have. I'm not a political comedian, I should say, and my show's got nothing about politics in it. But I've had a few moments here and there at Fringe this year and last year where it's got a bit awkward. In fact, last year there was one occasion in the venue where I had a big poster outside and I came in one morning and someone had drawn swastikas actually on the floor in front of my poster. Wow. That was quite intense, what I'd say.
Most Jewish people discover that they are comedians and have a career ahead of them when they're about one.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, like, mainly the men in my family were all hilarious. And on Shabbat afternoon, so Saturday afternoon on the Sabbath, if we're at my grandparents, all of the men would, after lunch, would sit in the lounge and be funny. Like, my grandfather was hilarious, and my dad and all the uncles, whatever, they would be sitting. I'd sit on the stairs outside and think, I want to be in there telling the jokes, actually. So, yeah, I think we're either very funny and gregarious or very morose and worried and anxious. And I think there's quite legitimate reasons why we're both like that.
But the broader view, you know, the wrong view that women are less funny than men in comedy, that's not so true and never has been in female Jewish comedy, has it?
No,
and particularly from the
not.
US, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there have been amazing female comedians. I think Jewish women are generally funny. It's hard to really describe it without going into stereotypes, isn't it? Because, you know, the Jewish mother and the way, but a lot of those stereotypes do come from a slight hint of truth. I think if you ask my kids about my parenting, they'd probably say that I fit a lot of that brief.
But if, as part of the culture it, and the history, it comes more naturally. Have you still had to train yourself as a comedian?
I'd say definitely yes, because I think that I have a natural ability to be a raconteur. I think that is also a very Jewish skill. Maybe because there used to be a custom, I think the word's badchen, I'm sure someone will write in and complain if it isn't the right word, where at big family events or weddings or funerals, whatever, well, maybe not a funeral, but people would come as an entertainer. And we all often speak at weddings, funerals, bar mitzvahs, whatever. We're used to having to get up and say stuff in front of other people. So I think I always had natural ability to stand up, be fairly entertaining. But when I decided to go full time into comedy as a career, as opposed to a thing I did a little bit, I had to learn how to turn that into writing a setup and a punchline and structuring jokes. So even though I'd say I'm still really a humorous storyteller, now if you saw a show that I did as opposed to a few years ago, you'd be able to kind of spot where there's a visible joke as opposed to it's just a good old laugh for everybody.
And you may have done this before, but could you imagine yourself being a comedian who happens to be Jewish but whose whole set has got nothing to do with Jewish humour?
Well, I don't have to imagine that because not all my sets are around Jewish life. I mean, this show is very Jewish and you know, it's unashamedly Jewish, but it's very accessible because it's about growing up and finding out who you are and rebelling and things like that, which are experiences that we all share. But in my club sets, they're not all focused on Jewish material.
And does that kind of enliven you in a way? Because the danger is you could just fall back on what you know.
I I don't know really if it enlivens me. I think it's whatever I find interesting and entertaining at the time is a thing that I want to talk about. And I'd also say that even if I was talking about Christmas, it would still come over with a Jewish flavour, because everything about my delivery and the way I stand and talk and move, whatever, like, I can't escape it. That is who I am. So I used to have a club set that was all about bees. Like, I'm very interested in bees. And it had no Jewish content at all. And I still quite love it.
Doesn't bees in Jewish culture mean bastards?
That I'm not aware of. I think you've just said
that. Well, we also just say he's such a bee, you know, but you're talking about apiary, aren't you?
I am talking about apiary. But I think that was probably one of your parents or grandparents not wanting to use the full words. That's how my grandmother used to describe them as well.
Yeah. Now, in terms of you as a comedy writer then, where you go in your development as a comedian, there's you writing for yourself.
Right.
Are you going to write a sitcom? Are you going to write some books? Are you going to write a movie script?
Oh my God, that's a lot of pressure, Paul.
But you know, there's no job for a Jewish girl, is it?
Are you my mother? Does she get in touch with you beforehand? Yeah. Say, really, now you have to do something a bit more serious. Yeah. Write a book I can tell people about. This nonsense, I don't know. I don't know, really. Like, my background is theatrical writing, so theatrical comedy.
What about a play?
So I've had quite a few plays, thank you very much.
You?
Yes, apparently not reviewed by you, but I've had a few. What can you do? It's fine, I forgive you. Do something now. So, I've written quite a few plays. The two that probably were best known, one was called Staff Room, and one which was voted most audience-recommended show of the Camden Fringe a few years ago. And the other one, which did really well and toured a lot, was called An Insomniac's Guide to Ambulances. In fact, I think my biggest fault is probably writing shows with titles that are much too long. So I have got another play in the works, in the pipeline, that I keep putting off because comedy is, you know, that part of my life is growing, which is amazing. So I've got to prioritise what is working and I'm getting paid for above, I've got children to feed and all of that, so above the dreams. But I think probably my aim is I'm writing a new one-person show, a new stand-up solo show, and after that I think I'm planning to go back to that play. But we'll see. I think it's whatever fancy takes me at the time, much to my parents' pride.
And, you know, I'm just collapsed now. I've been pointed out about my ignorance. But actually, I'm going to just push back a little again. So here you are, and we talk about this in the Fringe Review team, with a successful show back at the Fringe. And we kind of want people to push forward as well with new stuff and so on. So I'm just kind of interested in what you're restless about, what's in your notebooks, what you haven't quite tried out yet but might, and what you throw in the bin.
Right, so that's why I've come with a work in progress as well, because I feel much the same. Like, as soon
I didn't know about that either.
There you go. Yeah, that's fine. I mentioned it, but I can't help what you're listening to. But no, it's fine. I don't want reviewers to come to that. That's why I'm being a bit circumspect. It's not cooked yet.
Okay. But we should know about it.
You can know about it. Yeah. It's called Mrs. Maisel and Me, currently. But that's an interesting point that you raised, because we commit to the title and the blurb of a show very far in advance, as you know. And when I saw The Marvellous Mrs. Maisel earlier in the year, the Amazon Prime series, I decided to write something about that. And I put that down for my work in progress show. But then as I've been writing it, I've realised that actually I want to talk about something a little bit bigger. So the show that I want to write, which is what is being born out of this Mrs. Maisel show, is about kind of about objectification, not in terms of being a woman, but in terms of how you get pigeonholed by people because of their perception of you, especially when it's in relation to other people they make assumptions about. So, for example, I found people kept saying to me, "Oh, you're like Mrs. Maisel because she is Jewish and a comedian." But in many other ways, we're very different. And so that's where that sort of conflict idea came from. And also, as you know, I'm the only practicing Orthodox Jewish comedian on the UK stand-up circuit. And so people make quite a lot of judgments about what that means and what I should or shouldn't do and what I should or shouldn't say. So it gives me a lot to think about in terms of working out who I am and where I stand on all those subjects.
Right.
So my next year's show, I feel like there should be a fanfare and cliffhanger, but my next year's show will be a little bit about that, about all of us and when we make assumptions about people based on what we think they should be like.
Final questions for the Orthodox Jewish comedian. Why do a lot of people say that kosher smoked salmon tastes better than all other forms of smoked salmon?
Personally, I've never eaten any other kind of smoked salmon. I can't give you a comparison, but I assume it's because it's blessed by a rabbi. It isn't blessed by a rabbi, but that's what everyone thinks.
Okay. Would you accept a part in Fiddler on the Roof?
I'd accept a part if it was a really good one with loads of singing and very little dancing.
Okay. Why do a lot of mozzas give me the shits?
You're not eating the right make. It's Yehuda all the way for me.
Okay. And then finally, favourite Jewish comedian?
That is a really awkward question because I know an awful lot of Jewish comedians. They are all excellent, especially every single one who's at the Fringe this year. Please go and see their shows, having seen mine.
Oi, oi, oi.